Did you hear the headline from that new report on fair trade? The University of London's four-year study found that seasonal wage earners producing fair trade products are actually worse off than their non-fair trade counterparts in wages and conditions. Rodney North of the fair trade group Equal Exchange had a quick response. He says the goal was never to improve the wages of temporary workers. It was to ensure that they had jobs at all by helping the small farmers who employed them keep their land. Well, Christopher Kramer is a professor at the University of London's School of Oriental and African Studies and one of the report's authors. He joins us from London on Skype. And Chris, start with basics. What are fair trade labels supposed to do?
What they're supposed to do is to reflect some kind of social contract where we as consumers decide that we'll pay extra for our tea, for our coffee, and in return, the producer organizations that are certified fair trade undertake to meet standards around the conditions in which those commodities are produced. And then there's a premium that we pay for those products, which is supposed to be democratically allocated to various so-called community projects.
So, for instance, there's the organization Fair Trade, one word, International. We will get to them. And they are boosters of this premium that is supposed to go to do things like build community schools, for instance. But let's go to your study. It's called the Fair Trade Employment and Poverty Reduction Project, a four-year study conducted in Ethiopia and Uganda. What did you find?
So we, as you say, it was 4 years. We spent a lot of time in the field. About 1,000 person days of field work was done. And we tried to compare areas dominated by a fair trade certified producer organization with other areas. In some cases, it was also so-called smallholder producers of coffee or tea, but where there was no fair trade certified producer. Not a lot of difference positively was made to wages and working conditions by the fair trade certification. But what we found was very, very striking and surprising to us, which was that wages and working conditions on average in these comparisons were worse in the areas dominated by fair trade certified producer organizations.
Why would it be that people are worse off under fair trade, that they have worse wages?
It's a really, really important question and a difficult question. I think part of the answer is to do with particular employers. For example, in one case where we looked at one area of smallholder farmers where there was no fair trade certified producer organization and conditions and pay, they weren't great, but they were better. There had been a decades-long close relationship between a large coffee washing station that bought from many of the smallholders in the area and a well-known international coffee company. And that coffee company, and I can't give the name, the thing that they focus on above all is quality. And to dedicate themselves to the quality of the coffee that they buy from various places around the world, for them involves developing a close relationship with growers and processors. And where you've got that commitment to quality, it means that you've got to look after the coffee bushes better. It means you've got to harvest the cherries, the beans better, so on and so forth. Our hunch is that that feeds through into more days of labor offered and slightly better treatment of workers because you need them to do the job properly.
All right, let's get to some of the response. We mentioned Equal Exchange, one of the fair trade producers. Rodney North sent us an email, and he also spoke to Vice News. He says that your study is way off base because, first of all, it compares apples with oranges, that the idea of fair trade was always to help these small holders, as they're called, not actually the wage earners. So, in other words, the idea was to help these small cooperatives or small farmers even stay in business so that they could then turn around and employ people, maybe at lower wages. But the fact is, it was offering jobs that might not be there if, you know, the big conglomerates ate everything up. It was about people holding onto their own land. And by the way, these employers becoming wage earners themselves. And by his take, fair trade is doing what it set out to do, not raising the wages of all of the workers, the temporary seasonal workers, but certainly raising the wages and holding onto the land of these small holders who employed them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And he's a lot clearer than many people in the fair trade movement. So let's just start with this. There are two sets of standards for fair trade products. One set of standards is for what they call smallholder producer organizations. That's what most people have in mind. They're thinking about areas dominated by so-called smallholder producers of coffee or of tea and so on and so forth. Now, I think there are two things here. On the one hand, if you're honest, as that gentleman from Equal Exchange was, and he says, look, we're actually not really very interested in the wage workers. We're all interested in the smallholder farmers. That's fine, but that's not saying that your major concern is with the very poorest, because the very poorest people in rural African areas are those who depend for their survival on access to wage employment.
Well, I have to jump in to say he didn't say that he didn't care about the low wage workers. He said that they weren't meant to be the primary beneficiary.
But the point is, in this set of standards for smallholders, Fair Trade International and so on, historically, they bought into the idea that it's not so much they didn't care, it's that they didn't really think there were wage workers. They think that smallholder farming is a matter of family labor. And it's completely false. And in fact, the international fair trade organizations like Fair Trade International, they say belatedly, well, actually, we are interested in those workers, and we're starting to try and take more of an interest. So that's where we think our research could be really helpful.
Well, you mentioned Fair Trade International, and it's true. Harriet Lamb, who's the CEO, said it is a fair challenge to interview the temporary farm workers and say, here's a group that is left out. And it's a group, as she says, and as you just said, they are determined to look more closely at these poorest of the poor, temporary workers. But she went on to say it's not fair to say fair trade isn't helping farmers. She had almost the same attitude as Rodney North, that, you know, she quotes a farmer who for the first time can put his cows out in a lean-to instead of in his bedroom. It's because he didn't lose his land. He's not having to go work for low wages for someone else. You know, he's the shareholder of this small farm and got to hold on to it.
So let's look at this second dimension of this, is who these smallholders are. Very often, the people who benefit most in these organizations, they've got quite a lot of land. So there's a real problem here. I think the issue is really consumers. I think they have a right to having more and better information on the label about what's happening with the extra money that they're spending.
That's University of London Professor Christopher Kramer, co-author of the recent report on fair trade, speaking to us by Skype from his home in London. Professor Kramer, Chris, thanks so much.
That's a pleasure. Thank you.